Om Shanti, good morning and welcome to this morning's session. We have a long morning, so I'd just like to divide it that we'll start now. We will have a break at 11 o'clock, a coffee tea break till half an hour, 11 to 11:30. We come back and then finish the remaining session. We'll finish the topic by 12 midday, and then I will bring some light on silence, the power of silence. And so, at least when you are there for lunch, we're going to receive the lunch in silence. How do we do that? And what is the achievement or attainment through doing that? So, I think you're all ready for this morning session. A lot of people feel this is very Eastern or very Hindu, but when it comes to human beings, life doesn't treat us as these are from the Eastern Hemisphere or these are from the Western. Life doesn't treat us by saying this is a Hindu or a Christian or an atheist. Everything comes to everyone. If we just sit down and share, we all go through the same thing as human beings on this planet Earth. And so how do I understand life here in this dimension? We're living here, honestly, achieving a lot, but also losing a lot. When we receive, we are very happy. But when we have to let go, we don't want to. Yeah. And so how does this whole thing work? Yes, it is an Eastern philosophy, comes from the East, but it's like sun rises from the East and sets in the West. That doesn't mean that I don't take sunlight, do I? I take all the benefit from what the sunshine gives me. And so similarly, the theory of karma is a very, very interesting theory, but very useful in this day and age. And once we understand this, accepting and letting go becomes very easy and natural. The word karma is a Sanskrit word. Karma simply means action. It's nothing to do with good or bad. It's just action. So you've all understood what this being is all about. I am not this physical body of chemicals and particles, but I am a being, a soul, a divine entity. Of course, nobody can measure or experience that divine entity in this cross world with materialistic things. But we need the help of spiritual, then only I can experience this entity. And so, when I, the being or the soul, comes into this world through the mother's womb, till I am in the mother's womb, I'm still dependent on the mother. So I haven't yet started my karma. But the moment I take the first breath into this world, I've started my karma, my action. Till the last breath, a lot of people think, okay, I'm a karma sannyasi. Sannyasi means renunciate. And so they have stopped doing karma. In other words, earning, eating, working. That doesn't mean that I've stopped karma. Action is definitely there. Why? Because my breath is there. I'm breathing. So the first karma, that's my first action of breath, and the last one, are not in my hands. It's death pain. I didn't choose to take birth. And I will not choose to die also. It's destined. Even if somebody gets tired of life and decides to take life, that doesn't mean that it's over. It's continue with interest. Yeah? But what is destined is my first karma and the last one. The first breath and the last one. But in between, whatever actions I perform are supposed to be in my discipline. In other words, I'm the master and I am performing these actions. But if we check ourselves, is it happening that way? No. In between actions are also like they're the master and I am the slave. And this is why we use the language, I didn't want to say it, but it just happened. Or I didn't want to do it, but it just happened. And so, I am not the master. Now the meditation technique, which we're trying to learn here, helps me to become the master in between these two. Whatever actions I perform or karma I do are under my discipline. I wanted to do it or I wanted to say, and I'm the master and I did it and I said. And that's called Raja Yoga. The word Raja simply means master, king or sovereign. And yoga, the real pronunciation is jog. Jog means to join, to connect, or to have union. And so, once I am connected with my inner self, I connect with the ultimate up there, what Dari kept on mentioning yesterday, up there. And so I connect to the Almighty Authority, my Father, my Baba. And whatever power and strength I receive through that union or connection makes me the master. And so I can discipline my sense organs, I can discipline my mind, my intellect, and I can discipline my life. Not that I want to control. I do not want to control myself. I do not want to control others, but I want to discipline them so they work accordingly or systematically. Is that clear? That's where Raja Yoga meditation comes in to help me to become the master of my own karma. Now let's define the karma. When I, the soul, comes into this world, takes this physical body as my costume, as Shakespeare said, men and women are merely actors, and these bodies are their costume. And I start performing action in this world. This planet Earth is defined as, it's defined as karma kshetra. Karma means action, kshetra means field, the field of action. This is where I am going to perform my actions. I cannot perform in other dimensions. When I live a life as a human being, whatever I do, I talk, I eat, I sleep, I work, that is all action, that's karma. So karma is not bad, to perform action is not bad. But I need to see what type of, what quality of actions am I performing. And so this is action. Then we have three consequences of that action. It goes into three different accounts. One is called sukarma. Su means happiness, good. The action which gives happiness to me and others, that's called sukarma, the credit account. Yeah. Then there is another one called vikarma. V means vicious. The action which gives sorrow to me and others. That's the debit account. The credit and the debit. There's a middle account which is known as akarma. Akarma means neutral account. Neutral means I do not go forward, I do not go backward, I do not go up, I do not go down. I'm just there. Of course, that's the perfect account. A perfect account. It's very saintly. You get me what I mean by saintly. Alright, we do not want to be saints at this point. Let's forget. Because sometimes people say, oh my God, it's not possible. There's a very beautiful way of saying it that I'm going to use it in Hindi first. Ninda stuti man apman jay parajay me saman. In other words, anybody who defames me or praises me, whether I have victory or defeat, whether I earn or I lose, I am balanced. Nothing affects me. Yeah. Check. If somebody praises you, what happens? Yeah? There's an action here. We become happy a little bit, even if you don't show it. But if somebody defames you, we have to pay for that also, isn't it? We get upset. At least even if you don't show it inside, we're a little bit low. Yeah? You have victory, oh, the ego goes up. Yeah? But if you have defeat, gone down completely. In other words, human life at this point is fluctuating a lot. Because there are so many little victories and little defeats. Yeah? Little praise and little defamation. And so we keep on fluctuating. And that's why the human lifestyle has gone through a lot of upheaval. And of course we are all interconnected. See? And so when I fluctuate, people around me fluctuate, things around me fluctuate, and everything starts fluctuating. You won't believe. Somebody yesterday commented, oh my God, look at the weather, it's fluctuating so much. Where does it come from? Us human beings. When my mind fluctuates, one minute I'm so happy, the other minute I have a mood swing, you know, the third minute I'm so angry, the fourth minute I'm so depressed. So that's what's happening to the weather also. We are affecting it. I spoke to, I think, four different areas in the world. They all told me the same thing. It's heavily raining. Some places it might be a rainy season, but other places, no. But it's just coming. So environment is also crying sometimes. And mood fluctuation, so cloudy. And so happy means sunshine. So it expresses in itself. But as I said, we are interconnected. And so what happens is that whatever my state of mind is, I affect. It's a ripple effect. And so there's another comment coming to us that a few people practicing spirituality and meditation, do you think we can change the world? Yes, we can. Yes. Again, ripple effect. If I'm so happy and light, understanding life in a very good manner, I'm helping others to do the same. And one day we'll definitely transform the world for the better. But I need to start with my own self. Now, these are the three consequences of my action. Let's forget the neutral action. We are not balanced in whatever happens in life. We fluctuate. So we go from credit to debit to credit again, and so sukarma to vikarma. Yeah? Now tell me, what account have we accumulated more heavier? All are smiling. I'm not going to say 100%. My statements are not 100%. Please don't even take it. You might be a very balanced person. But majority of us in the world go through that upheaval. Yeah? The extremes sometimes. And so, what would you say? That my sukarma side, that is my credit side, is more heavier? Or is it my vikarma side, my debit side, is more heavier? What do you feel? Yeah? Human beings are so burdened, isn't it? So we like this. Like this. Knowingly or unknowingly. Conscious or in our subconscious mind. We are accumulating a lot of vikarma as human beings. We don't even know that, but it's just very automated. It just automatically goes. The moment you take sorrow from someone, it's gone. It's in this account. And the moment, knowingly or unknowingly, I give sorrow to somebody else, again, it's in this account, the debit account. And so, you know, this side is becoming more heavy. Yes, we are also accumulated on the sukarma side. We do many good things also, which gives you a pleasure, happiness. Yeah, and it also gives happiness to others. But what we are doing is, I am not earning as much as I am using, accumulating. So sometimes we see that one person is not as fortunate as me. Good clothes, good shelter, good food, opportunity to travel, you know, good family, parents, siblings, whatnot. We've known people who are on the street, who doesn't even know where a home is, or who my siblings are, or food. And so you sometimes wonder, is God being unfair? No. God is not being unfair. When we came into this world, we were like this. Very balanced. See? Slowly and slowly, some earned and some used. Earning and using. And so, at the moment, whatever we are earning is not equals to what I am using. So I am using from my savings. Whatever I have got as savings, I'm using. So this is getting a little bit lighter also, isn't it? Yeah. So this is going up there and this is going down there. That's why we're becoming imbalanced. Yeah? Imbalanced in life, imbalanced in mind, imbalanced in relationships, everything. So now, when we come into this world, we have a purpose. We don't just come into this world like that. So there are many aims and objectives we have. But one of them is to clear my debts and my accounts. I come to clear them into this world. So now there are three ways of clearing One is karma sambandh, action in relationships. Anything which comes in a form of relationship with you actually has come to clear the account in a way of giving or taking, receiving. So the first one is karma sambandh. I'm going to expand on that. The second one is karma bhog. Bhog means suffering. Yeah. Whether it's physical, mental, you know, whatever you call it, that's karma bhog. Suffering in action. And the third one is called karma yoga. Yoga, mental. Remember I defined Raja Yoga? Yoga is connection. And karma means whilst performing action, my mind and intellect is constantly connected. That's called karma yoga. Am I very fast or are you with me? You want me to slow down a little bit? Is okay? Great. Because you need to apply this. It's not something to just listen to. Isn't it? What did Dadi say? We have 2 ears. We listen to it and we digest it. And so, I need to use it in my day-to-day life. And life becomes so interesting. There is no whys and whats and hows. You just get an answer. Yeah? It's a beautiful equation. This is what you did, and this is how it works. N equals 2. You see? And so, let's start with the first one. Karma sambandh. What comes under my form of relationships? The very first one is my parents who gave birth to me, my siblings where I'm surrounded with, yeah, the land where I'm born, the house where I am, the place where I work, interact, you know, the office, the business, the job place, employee, employer. It's non-stop. So I have relationship with all these things. Not only of a day-to-day human interaction in a form of relationship, but simple as a car. I'm using a car to go from this destination to that one. That's also a relationship. You know? Your pet. Well, we have pets around us. I have relationship with my pets. Neighbors, neighborhood, vicinity, all that is relationships. There are one or two little examples I would like to share with you. One is, they were two very close friends, very young ones, you know. They were brought up together, grew up together. When they grew up, they decided to start a business together. Very, very close friends and such a beautiful sort of relationship. They got married, their wives came in. You know, the wives even knew that these are very close friends. And then one friend, the wife, gave birth to a child. But the other couple, they were not having a child. And they were very, very desperate and they wanted a child. And they couldn't get a child. So they started working very hard. Prayers, this, that, treatments, whatnot. But here this couple, they got another child and another child. So this couple had 3 children. And the other one did not have. Whose fault? Who are we going to blame? You see? It's a fact of life, isn't it? There you cannot do anything. Snatch, grab, yeah, push. You can't do that. So now the wife was so annoyed with life. She kept on nagging the husband, saying, "You see, God is so unfair. Yeah, your friend, they have 3 children. And we don't even have 1 child. I want a child. What can the husband do about it? He's done everything what is in his control." So now he was getting very tired because he was also becoming bitter with life. So he decided to just stop this relationship. Yeah. So he told his friend, "All right, I think we did business together for a long time. Now we want to stop. Yeah. You take your share, I take mine, and we go our ways." Of course, the friend did get a shock because it was such a lovely relationship. But when they were separating, the couple who didn't have children, because they were so bitter with life, that friend decided not to give him his right share. Of course, he cheated on him. Yeah? The bitterness. So, the friend got a shock. He had a heart attack, heart failure, and he died. He left a widow with 3 children. She took her share and they moved away. They never ever met again. Yeah? So at least they would not see this every now and then. And the wife wouldn't keep on reminding the husband that they have 3 children and we don't have any. But what was very interesting was, the moment the friend died here, the wife on the other side conceived. Did you get that? She conceived and she gave birth to a boy, a little baby boy. But that child was very unwell since birth. You know? So lying in bed, time passing, the parents were so happy that they had a child, but they wanted this child to say mommy and daddy, which the child never said, never gave the pleasure of that relationship. They started taking this child every way for the treatment, but couldn't get right. So a holy wise man was passing by this village or town or whatever it is, and somebody said, "This wise man can help us." So this wise man saw the child and asked this couple, "Did you have a partner in business?" And they said, "Yes." "Did you cheat on him?" And they said, "Yes." "Yeah. Is he dead?" "Say yes." "See, this is the child which has come to receive his share in a form of a child. Because you're definitely not going to give it to your partner, but you're definitely going to use everything to your child. He's receiving his share." See? So he's come in a form of that. Through his life, you received a lot of sorrow and pain because you saw he had 3 children, very happily married, very happy. So now he's receiving a little bit of pain in a form of lying down there. You know, it's a give and take relationship. And then of course, the wise man said, "If you just go and pay the widow wife whatever you share, I mean, is their share." So I think half of it was used on the treatment of the baby, but half was left. They were happy to do that because at least they would have the child. They went straight to this widow wife. "We owe your husband this, please take it." The moment they cleared that account, what happened here? Huh? The child got better. Who says child got better? Alright? Who says the child died? Who says nothing happened? The child died. Yes. That's a clear equation. Because, remember, it wasn't in their account to have a child. They snatched it from destiny.
And so the destiny is snatching back from them. That child only came to clear the account. The account was clear, the child is gone. You see? It's a very, very straightforward thing. But because, remember we said, the child would get well, that's our human thinking. Yeah? We just want everything very easy. Of course, that is also equally easy if you understand life. But we make it very complicated. And then what comes in is a blame game. This happened because of that one and this happened because of that. And regularly we have an attitude as human beings, when anything good happens, I did it. Yeah? But when anything bad happens, why does God do this to me? Yeah? Either it's God or either it's somebody else. Pointing fingers. But through this understanding, what I need to do is take ownership, responsibility. I need to understand whatever happens in my life, it's me. It's I. No blame games. No pushing of responsibility. If anything good happens to you, it's me. I did it. But not with that I. The Oxford Dictionary definition, I. Have you seen it in the dictionary? It defines as ego. Yesterday Daddy talked about that ego, isn't it? It's not that I. I, the being, the soul. That's the I. And that's why it's so important to experience who that I is. I am a peaceful being. I am a pure being. Just light, energy and power. Yes, yes, definitely. And so that I is the owner, is the master. Whatever good happens, it's I, the soul, who's responsible to receive this. But if anything goes wrong, it's I. I must take that responsibility. When I take that responsibility, everything becomes so easy rather than complicating. Life becomes very interesting. You know, sometimes you're not well and something goes wrong. You know, we start saying it's because of our neighbors. And it's because of the government. Yeah? The government is too corrupt. What is government? It's us. And who's corrupt? It's us. So we need to start from somewhere. There's a solution to all the problems in this world. And that's the very first one. Karma sambandh. Action in relationships. Sometimes, I don't know whether you've noticed or not, you say, we were living in a one-room house, very simple, but very nice. We were all very happy, you know. Now we've got this big mansion, you know, we're not happy. We're so unwell, we're always very sick in this house. Yeah, that one-room house, you were receiving. You were the receiving side. But the mansion is the giving side. You're supposed to give. Sometimes you say, ever since I shifted my office here, we are blossoming, we are blooming. That land is supposed to give you. Yeah. And so you see a lot of people's lives somebody born somewhere, educated somewhere, brought up somewhere, and living somewhere, or married somewhere, or working somewhere. So it's like all over. All my accounts are pulling me. And so that's karma sambandh. If we have more time, I will share more on that. But let's go to karma bhog. Karma bhog means suffering. You might hear the word bhog here also. In different languages it's different. Because when you do an offering, they say it's bhog. Yeah? But really, the real meaning is bhogna. Bhogna means suffering, pain, you know, torture. And so, suffering in form of relationships. Whether it's physical illnesses, whether it's mental torture, whether it's relationship problems in a form of, you know, pain. You don't say anything, but you are suffering. That is what? Again, the soul has accumulated. And so, when you have a wonderful parent, gave you the best life, best education, best everything, that means you're on the receiving side. And the parents need to give you. Because at some point you did that for that souls. Maybe not in a form of children or parent, any form. If you have an employee-employer relationship, and your employer is no good, torturing you, yeah, you're suffering, hurts your ego, whatever, then again the same thing, I have to pay. Yeah. You must have seen some countries suffer a lot. And they blame because of the neighboring country, because of this, because of that. I don't want to go into politics, so I won't name it. But you know, it's again the same thing. So there is suffering individual level, family level, community level, and country level and international. There is a lot of pain and a lot of pleasure. I have seen a very common example. When you go to the doctors and sometimes something goes wrong, a lot of people say, oh, it's because of the doctor's negligence. You know? I remember my doctor was out of country and I needed to get this treatment and I went to another one, booked and everything. And somebody gave me, are you ready? Are you going tomorrow? I said, yeah. Oh my God, that doctor, no. He's even been to prison. You know, because he killed someone. And so now I'm sitting there on a Sunday morning. Monday I'm admitting. And I said, no, it's okay, not to worry. That's where I use this. Yeah, maybe somebody died at his hands. That was their account, not my account. Why do I create one? Yeah. So I said, no, it's okay, fine. You won't believe he was the best doctor for me. Yeah. Till today. We've got a lovely relationship. So there's a blame game here. Nobody wants to take responsibility and they want to blame. Blame the parents, blame the employer, blame the employee, blame the doctors, blame the teachers, blame the country, you know? No. That's where I need to just take that responsibility. It's me and it's mine. It's me means I, It's mine means my account. Let me just clear it. And so, it's a very beautiful way of seeing life. I will be touching on that subject later on. Sometimes we see that some souls go through a lot of depression. And you wonder why, in spite of having everything. Sorry if somebody is from Switzerland here, but I was traveling. And when I entered from Italy to Austria to Switzerland, you know, you see the whole difference. And of course Switzerland is spanking clean. And the delays there are just seconds, isn't it? They announce, sorry, the train is delayed by 30 seconds or 1 minute. You know? I was really fascinated. You know? And because there's that perfection, people cannot take anything less. Yeah? And I told them in the center, wow, it's such a lovely place, huh? They said, no, we've got the highest rate of depression here. I said, what? So we've got a lot of depression here. They told me. I didn't know. And I said, oh, depression should be in my continent. Where somebody stands there for hours and hours and nobody tells them, you know, that their bus is cancelled. I mean, it's not literally like that, but yes. I remember one time I wanted to see this agent in Angola, in Luanda, and we decided to meet at 10 o'clock at Sagra de Familia. And I waited there and waited there and waited there from 10 o'clock. 2 o'clock I decided to leave. I went back to the hotel. There was no phone call, no sorries, nothing. Yeah? And I called and I said, brother, what happened? You never came. Oh, I was there. You were not there. You know? I said, where? He said, I came at 4 o'clock. I said, what? We planned 10. They said, yeah, that's how my country works. No sorry. You know? And still nobody's depressed. Isn't that amazing how it works? They're all very happy. You know? That's how the land receives and gives. That's karma bhog. Suffering in form of relationship or karma. Yeah? Anyway, that was a little bit light moment. The third one is karma yoga. Karma yoga. Karma means action. Yoga means union, connection, communication. And so, it's like a tortoise. All the organs are under that shell, the hard shell. Whenever this tortoise decides to move from point A to point Z, it takes out the organs, expands, walk, eat, whatever. The moment that act is finished, go back into the safety, into the shell. And what do we human beings do? We stretch, and we stretch, and we stretch till we break. Nervous breakdowns. Yeah, we don't know how to go back. See? Meditation helps me to go out, work, perform action, whatever I need to, withdraw, and go back in. It's not something physical. It's something very spiritual. Whenever I need to do my actions, perform my karma, I do it. In a form of detach and loving. Yeah? Whenever I need to go into sound, I go. Whenever I need to go into silence, I withdraw. Whenever I need to stop my actions, I withdraw. But what is happening into the world? One is just stretching, stretching, stretching. Even when we are supposed to go and sleep, we're still thinking about that. We cannot withdraw. We cannot detach. Yeah? In our dreams also we are doing the same thing. You know? And look at the quality of sleep. Quality of sleep is not 100%. You know? And so naturally, quality of life also reduces. We don't have that 100% attention. Yeah? And then, again, it affects me. And so karma yoga simply means when I start the day, I first start it with silence. And then go into action and sound. What do? We go into sound. Oh my God. Huh? Oh, I'm very late. Just move. It's okay. Let me finish this. I need to do this. I need to do that. You know, we have a long list of what I need to do. And so, we first go into sound. We talk a lot. And then, we start doing. So our pace reduces. The pace becomes slow. And then we get stressed. I can't cope. Somebody just called me today and said, "How are you?" from the other side of the world. I said, "I'm fine." I was actually coming to the session. I only had 5 minutes to walk up the hill. So naturally, when I come up the hill, then I want to sit down. I want to go into silence. I need to relax physically, mentally, and then start the session. Now, on the other side of the world, this person was like, "How are you?" I said, "I'm very well." "Here we have a lot of problems." I said, "What's the problems?" "Oh, traffic. Too much traffic. People are so upset." You know? So can you imagine that is, you know, I don't have traffic here. Nobody is upset here. Yeah? But can you imagine that situation is supposed to come here? Yeah? And if I'm not detached, then it can affect me. But on the other side, I can't ignore this person's phone call. Otherwise, I'm not loving. So I need to be detached and loving. You see? I can only do that when I have that connection. See? So, through the mind, I'm connected to the powerhouse, the almighty authority. Here we use the word Baba. Baba simply means the father, the creator, the powerhouse. So when I'm connected, I constantly recharge myself. So anybody or anything or any situation which is gonna, you know, drain me out, it doesn't matter. Yeah? Loving and detach. Loving and detach. And I keep on filling myself up. What is our way? In our regular mundane world, we are connected to one another, isn't it? Either you're connected to your husband or your wife, your child, or whoever, your mother, your father. So you're giving. Yeah? And if you don't receive, what happens? Oh my God. Do I always have to give? Do I always have to appreciate? Do I always have to let go? You don't do it. Expectation. And where expectation comes in, what comes in? Disappointment. What else? Frustration. Anger. You see? Not a real gift, is it? Why do we want that? Rather, I am connected to Baba, the powerhouse. I receive, I fill myself up, overspilling, I'm using it. I'm not using mine. I am filled up. The spillover, I'm just using. Yeah? So no expectation. I just want to unconditionally give. I'm not expecting you should appreciate me or you should be loving to me, yeah, or respectful. I just want to give because I have. When I give unconditionally, I automatically receive it. It just comes. No expectation. And if you receive it just like that, what happens? Now give us the other side. No, not confusion. When you don't expect something, and if somebody gives you something, happiness, gratitude, you see, so much of gifts. So it's a very simple way in life. But as I told you, we complicate a lot. And that's where we're suffering actually. See? And so karma yoga is the most easiest way of clearing your accumulated vikarma or sukarma. If it is sukarma, in other words, somebody is owing you, you know, and you feel, this person needs to pay me. I am going. I'm going to get it this time. I'm not going to wait anymore. No. You just connect and it will start coming. I've literally seen that. Yeah? Not only spiritual side, even the mundane, even the gross things, you know. It's interesting how vibrations work. Even if somebody is owing you $1,000, either you go out there, fight and take it. Yeah? Or just connect vibrations, you know, pure vibrations. And then of course you need to sometimes communicate. But remember, your communication is filtering through positiveness. And that person says, oh yeah, I was just about to come. Now that you've come, please take it. That's two ways of, you know, handling life. So, when I am meditating, I'm actually filtering. So let's visualize that, you know, when I am connected to the Almighty, which I think it's not difficult. A lot of people think, oh my God, meditation is so difficult, you know. But it's practice. You just need to practice it. And the moment you practice it, first I go within. I connect with my inner self that I'm not this physical body of chemicals and particles. I'm not Pratibha, I'm not Susan, I'm not, you know, Perry, but I am a being working through this identity. You see? So I'm filtering my own consciousness of identity. So it's not body consciousness, but it turns into soul consciousness. And then I connect to God, my Father, my Creator. Please don't say my God and your God, because there's no my God and no your God. no Hindu God and no Muslim God. It's only one. Yeah. So I connect there. And then I filter it. So whatever good is, will go through. Whatever positive is, will go through. And whatever is unnecessary will be up there, filtered. Yeah? So what goes through, that's the attitude I'm going to create. And what goes through turns into my attitude, my language, my action, and my lifestyle. Thoughts creates attitude. Attitude creates language. Language creates action. And action creates lifestyle. Go back to your lifestyle and check. If somebody says, oh, I have so much problems in my life, where did it start? My life is so sorrowful. Where did it start? My life is so problematic. Not mine, yeah? Please. Where did it start? It didn't start here. It started here. Is that right? Started here. So where do I need to sort it out? Not here. What are we doing? We're trying to sort it out here. I had problems. I want to leave this country and go somewhere else. Yeah? I have problems. I want to leave this wife and get another one. I have problems with this boss. I want to leave this job and go to another one. Yeah? To leave the country, to leave somebody is not a problem. But remember, that's not the solution. You need to change the attitude towards life. Yeah, growing is fine. It's very good. It's very healthy to move from one company to another one, from one country to another one. But what attitude? Is it the attitude of failure and rejection? Or is it an attitude of growing and success? Attitude is very important. So rather than changing the country and the wife and the husband and the job, let's transform attitude. And that's what is filtering, remember? It's filtering here. So meditation helps me, one, to not accumulate my vikarma. Because it's not going through, you see. So that account slowly is going to get lighter and lighter, the debit account. And meditation helps me to accumulate in my credit account. So that account is becoming heavier, heavier I'm accumulating. So we were like this, now slowly it's coming this way. Third thing, some people say, all right, from today I've understood, so I'm not going to accumulate any vikarma or my debit account. Very clear, fair, I understand. But what about the ones I've already accumulated? How do I do that? Isn't it? We have two ways there. One is, the more I meditate, and I receive that strength and the power in the soul. Oh, because I've accumulated the debit account, I definitely have to pay for it. I have to. I must. But to the lowest denomination. The lowest denomination. Let's take an example now. I'm going to give you a metaphor. That may it never happen, I'm just saying it, example, that you walk out of here, you are supposed to be involved in an accident. and in that accident you lose your two legs. Example. That's your 100% debt account. You're supposed to pay to the universe because you've accumulated it, whatever it may be. That's your 100% account, so you go on the field of karma, involved in an accident, the two legs are gone, and you live a life without the two legs. One example. The other one is, I already have that account. We don't need to go into the details and say, now which account is this, where did I accumulate it, who do I do it with? No, no, why do we need to go? We're sitting in this building, where did we get this brick from, who put it, who put the cement, we don't care. It's a shelter, beautiful, it's sheltering us. Yeah, I need to appreciate the whole thing. So when it comes to my account, I just need to be very unconditional and accumulate the meditation. The moment I accumulate the power of meditation, you can't see it, but you can slowly start feeling it. On this side, the percentage of deduction starts. Remember, it was 100%, so now it's reducing and reducing and reducing, and it comes to a stage where it's maybe 0.9%. Yeah, I have to pay now. From 100% to 0.9%. Example. So what is that 9%? 0.9%. Yeah, is I'm definitely going out there. I'm definitely going to be involved in an accident. And then somebody would ask me, oh my God, you were in an accident. Are you hurt? Something happened? Oh no, no, no. Just a little scratch on my two legs. Losing two legs and a scratch on two legs. You can reduce to that level. Is that clear? It's very complicated. Who says it makes sense? No one? It makes sense? Where is your hand? Oh. Who says, oh my God, it's so complicated, I don't understand. One. Alright. There's only one. So you can sit and talk about it. Yeah? And who says, it's okay? No one. I personally feel, ever since I got this understanding, life has become very interesting. It's so lovely, you know? Yeah, simple, very simple, rather than complicating it. I owe, I do it. I'm responsible, I do it. The moment I do it, others help. No expectation. So, karma yoga helps me to reduce to the lowest denomination. One time, I was stuck in the woods somewhere because the planes were cancelled, bankrupt, airlines, you know. And I was in a Spanish colony where I speak very small Spanish. I was traveling to a French colony, a former, where I speak very small French. Stuck in nowhere in the jungle, in the woods. And guess what? I was still very happy. I had no problem. Yeah? I was trying to look for the most, slightest reason to be happy. Slightest reason to be happy. Yeah, I had 99% of problems around me. But that 1% of happiness, oh, at least my phone is working in this woods. There's network. Thank God. Something like that, you know. And you clear your situation in such a smooth manner and pick yourself up and put yourself into a more safe area. And there's very deep realization between these two experiences of life. So life always is not smooth. Life always is not a problem. But how do I take it is definitely in my hands. That is karma. I just want to point out that there are many different relationships. As I told you, I'm going back to the first one. Relationships. But, you know, in these relationships, there's a lot of attitude. Sometimes I will tell you one example where the wife would tell the husband, "Oh, I was so happy in my parents' life, in my parents' house. When I got married to you, all the problems came because of you." Which is not true. It is your own problems. Whether you were at your parents' house or your husband's house, that was going to come timely and give good wishes and pure feelings to your husband that he's there to help you to clear it out. He's just playing a role of clearing it out. Yeah. Now the other side. The husband would say, "Oh, your parents didn't even have anything. It's because of me that you've got all the luxuries." Forget it. It was her fortune. It is her fortune. You're just a medium to provide. See? And so, either way, it's you. But these are little relationships which helps me to clear, like how I gave you the story of a partner, business partner, and a friend could not finish the account, but a child came and finished that account. So in a form of a child relationship. So all relationships have their own importance and a role, yeah, in life. Sometimes you must have heard, you know, these are two friends, but they are even more than brothers. So why did life made it so complicated that they were friends and now they are more than brothers? Why can't they be brothers only? Yeah. You see? So it's like even the whole process has got a meaning. And if you start applying this, yeah, but not like, you know, always creating a problem and they say, "Oh, it's karmic accounts." Don't use it that way. Yeah. Sometimes you can be very careless and then say, "Oh, it's karma. It's okay." Yeah? Not that way. Yeah. Use it in a very genuine way and life will become so lovely. All right. I know it was like a lot of information. Before we break for lunch, for tea, coffee, tea break, any questions regarding this? Yes, please. Yes, Stephen. Do you want the microphone, or you? Everybody can hear you. All right. You see. Or somebody said, Jane? Oh, you didn't say. How come we thought you said? All right. What happens there is that what is your consciousness that works? If your consciousness is genuine, pure intention, dedicated to your task, that this candidate is the one who is going to progress this company, and is, then there is, you know, they feel the attitude. So the other two will definitely get disheartened, not blaming it on you, will taking responsibility on their own self. But if your attitude is of favorism, that's when you are accumulating vikarma. You know, world, destiny, everything has been designed so beautifully. It's just that we need to understand it, where it comes from and where it goes. And it's wonderful. You know? So it's the attitude. Yeah? Hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah, we can. Yeah. It's a path. It's like, you know, from completely negative account, I definitely want to go to positive account. And from positive account, you'll come to a stage where you'll be in a neutral account. So rather than taking a shortcut, we go properly. Yeah. So if somebody says, okay, I need to become neutral account, you're trying to take a shortcut and you're going to go and struggle a lot and get put off completely. Rather, let's go this way and you'll get to your destination very nicely. The aim is definitely that I want to have a neutral account. But let me go this way and it's going to be very systematic. Yeah? Can you all hear those who are asking questions? Or do we need a microphone? Yeah? Sanjay bhai, de do ek microphone. Hai aapke paas? You need to come in the front, sorry. Thanks. So they can hear your own question nicely.
Okay. You mentioned that when we are born, we are on the same level.
Yes.
But then what happens when you are born to a bad family? Aren't you having a negative account already at that
stage?
Yeah,
very good question. I don't know whether you've done the world cycle or not. Have you done the world drama wheel? Have you done that? Are you going to do that tomorrow or something? I don't have my program here. Anyway, when you... tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to get that picture tomorrow very clearly. It's very interesting that when I said we were born, we were not born only in between. I'm talking about the original journey when human beings started from soul world, that dimension to this dimension. That's when we came with a very neutral account. And then slowly when we took a lot of birth here in the cycle, it's like carry forward, you know. Whatever I've done, I finish here a little bit, I carry forward, and I carry forward. So when you're born in a horrible family, you're carrying forward, you know. And if you're born in a lovely family, you're carrying forward. Till we finish the full cycle, we'll, please relate this tomorrow also in the world cycle, you will connect it very nicely. What else? Done? Yes, please, brother. Come in the front, take a microphone. Yeah. Oh, sister, sorry.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question that comes from the work of Brian Weiss, who, through the people that he's worked with, there's been a number of instances where people have perhaps been in one
lifetime.
Role. Mm-hmm. Yes, in a particular lifetime, they're in one role. So an easy example is the conflict between Muslims and Jews. So they might have found themselves on the one side of that conflict, and in the next life, they find themselves on the other side.
Yeah.
And then they're coming to him, which is the point at which he's meeting the people.
Regression, yeah.
So through that process, it's then coming into their awareness that you are fighting the one side. Now the side today that you think you hate is the side that you were. And so he speaks about the need then for that person to find how do they create peace. That is the kind of purpose and calling that has come through the process when he's worked with the people, not his own opinion of what they must do. Mm-hmm. But that's where they've kind of settled eventually as they come to terms with it. But I didn't encounter that in Brahma Kumari's learning, so I'd just love to hear what you have to say about that. Thanks.
Actually, Brian Wess is again taking you back into, you know, regression and taking you to that lifetime and, you know, making you realize this is what you did and this is what you're paying now. Now, that's a lot of details, you know, which everybody cannot take it, of course. It's very effective, very nice. Not everybody can afford, whether wise, fund-wise or time-wise. But I personally feel rather than going into, you know, the past again, let's just be in the present and sort it out there only. So it's exactly like, you know, I told you who put the bricks and where did the bricks come from and, you know, rather than going into all that, just appreciate that there's shelter. Very beautiful shelter. So similarly, the Brahma Kumaris would not encourage you to go into the past. What has happened, leave it in the past, let's start sorting out the present. Yeah? When you sort out the present and live in the present and work in the present, your future is automatically going to be sorted out. So don't worry about the future, don't worry about the past, be in the present and start working. So at the moment we're trying to sort out our present lifestyle. And it will be a ripple effect that, you know, the past will be let go, the present would be better. So rather than going into the details, we would, you know, take care of the present. Yeah, please. Take a microphone. We've got 1 minute left now, or half a minute. You have to come in the front, sister. No? Oh, okay, sorry.
Om Shanti. Going back to the previous question about being born in a horrible family.
Yeah.
Isn't it a way of taking birth in particular family and family circle is a way of settling karmic accounts?
Yeah, that's what we talked about. Yeah, but she was asking a different question.
Okay.
That if either soul has come as a balanced person, then where did this negative account come from?
Right.
But the soul came and is in a circle, and so this is the middle journey we're talking about, not the perfect one.
Okay. So then how is it that taking birth in that particular family is... how are we going to settle our karmic accounts? Or like some people, they take such wonderful births in wonderful families, but yet the individual soul is not such a good soul, not deserving of a particular family.
Good family, yeah. Yeah. All right. So now, clearing karmic account is not only you. You must understand. It's sometimes you're helping others to clear the account. So if you are born to a good parent and you are notorious, yeah, then your parents are clearing the account also by looking at that naughty child or vicious child or, you know, ugly child or whatever you call it. They are clearing their account also. And otherwise you're born in this naughty family where your parents are cruel, then it's you. You are clearing your account. Because you're suffering, you're tortured, you know. I don't know whether you've read this book of all. It's not Brahma Kumaris related, but my neighbor gave me this book. It's a book by David Pelzer, The Boy Who Was Called It, The Boy Who Was Lost. And he asked towards the end, it's a true story, why did my mother do this to me? Has anybody got an answer? And it's absolutely this answer. If a biological mother can do what she did, it's absolutely karmic relationships. No any other. So that you don't hate the mother and you don't feel self-pity for yourself. And he did a wonderful job because if the mother did this, he still in return gave the mother what she, you know, what he owes to a mother. So he has cleared the account very nicely. But the only difference is that when you have knowledge, then you don't hold on to it. So you don't feel sorrowful or hatred. That's the thing. Alright, I don't want to reduce your break. So let's have a moment of silence. We all go. Come back please, sharp 11:30. So we've got some more time. And then we'll talk about silence.